I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm not doing too good. Maybe that'll mean I'll be able to explain things a little bit better.
Or we should discount everything you say.
Maybe you're nice and polite.
You know, I've been trying to talk about what I saw the day it pleased the Father to reveal His Son 33 years ago, and I've never been able to do it. I've tried every way possible to talk about it's finished, it's perfect, it's over. All of time is passing through the New Jerusalem. And it struck me that this morning that the reason is that we think that God's activities are somehow localized, and that we don't see that these events were cosmic. They inexorably changed the calculus of the universe. And so, you know, on His crucifixion, when the veil was rent, that destroyed all religion. Not just some little minor sect when the sun was darkened, I mean, that was mind-blowing. It can't be expressed in words. When I said that the day of the Lord started at the night of His crucifixion, or the sunset of His crucifixion, was when the sun was dark. It was so wild that, you know, there were earthquakes and people came out of the graves, and I mean, it was a when He rose from the dead, that's never happened before. He led captivity captive. It inexorably changed everything. It didn't just change a little religion. Can you understand maybe a little bit what I'm talking about? When He said it's finished, He wasn't kidding. And then when He ascended into heaven, He had to do that really so that the New Jerusalem could come down. The rush, you know, let's back again to the very beginning at the Garden of Eden. Let's go there a minute. Genesis 3. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." And the sentence is unfinished, because to finish this sentence would have been too gross, too "Therefore the Lord sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." And that's the fire that they saw on Pentecost when time was ripped, so they saw that sword that's keeping man from entering back into that place. Because only now, only that which came from eternity can ever return to eternity. And you always think I'm kidding when I say if you're not in heaven now, you never will be. Then his ascension is the evidence that if you're in him, all law, all... I mean, stop and think. Here's this guy that was resurrected from the dead. He walked through walls. Nobody recognized him. He was able... I mean, the only place anybody could touch him was in the blood. And that's all fine. That's nice little tricks. But when he ascended... It changed the universe.
What was it? It changed from what?
It changed from natural to spiritual.
One thing when you're talking about the idea of him ascending and being seated with the Father, and it is analogous to this other thing that happens. You talk about the New Jerusalem coming down from the throne of,
that's what we're about to talk about.
With, what's above, what's below, and all that.
I am convinced that on the Feast of Pentecost... Now stop a minute and think. You've got all these 120 that have been following him. You've got the 12 that have been intimate, and they saw these things, and they all wrote that it was the last day. I mean, there is no exception to that. And John saw something that maybe the others didn't, but he's the only one that wrote about it. And I believe it happened on the Feast of Pentecost. He saw the New Jerusalem. Let's go there. Go to John 21. I mean, Revelation 21. When I keep telling you that the book of Revelation overlays all of time, nobody understands it. It's not separate from time. It is time. Until the seventh angel stands and says, the mystery of God is completed, time shall be no more. And then time has served its purpose. But the only thing that is waiting is for your obedience. Because somehow, some way, the transfiguration of your mind is necessary to keep time going. As long as you want to keep time going, then you keep screwing around and living in your head. But on this day, look, and he saw this already. It's already seen. You got to hear this. It didn't. It's not something that's going to happen. Start in verse 11. Chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I mean, I think that's what John saw on the Feast of Pentecost. Now, the scriptures are clear. It said there's no more young or old, Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female. There's a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new thing, not an improved thing, a new thing. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency will be of him and not of us. Wherever we look, it's God is all and in all. Wherever we look, it's Christ is all and in all. It's finished, it's perfect. By one offering you've been perfected forever. So on this really one feast, from Passover to Pentecost, everything in the universe was turned upside down. But our minds can't comprehend that. So we still play these stupid little games, playing in the sandbox of time, instead of having our minds transfigured, being transfigured by the renewing of our mind, so that we live in that same place that Christ did, in 100% dependence. But we can't see because our eyes are holding, because we still are trying to figure out, how does this affect me? What does this mean to this? We still give breath to things that are on this olden earth. We still believe that Jesus Christ hasn't come in the flesh. Why? It's done. It's over. It's finished. The New Jerusalem is our only reality. But we're still playing in the sandbox. We have ready access to the Holy of Holies. Do you understand that? Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews. Where is that? Hebrews 10. Let me show you one thing. Before you go to Hebrews 10, go to 2 John. It's just a little bit to the right, or to the left of Hebrews. I mean of Revelation. Verse 4. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. The whole idea they saw. I mean, my God, did you hear Melito of Sardi? He saw it. Can you hear? I mean, I've been saying the same thing for 33 years. And it strikes me that the reason that nobody hears is because you're still thinking into the confines of what you can see. What? Gary, I heard. How can you neglect so great a salvation for the feeling of a moment? or for the worship or giving breath to anything that you can see? How should you neglect so great a salvation by being concerned about something? I mean, am I speaking in another language now? Does anybody hear me?
Yeah.
We are not of this world. It's impossible. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall never again want or need. As I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear nothing. There's nothing that anybody can do. Or anything can do. You're seated with Him in the heavenlies. It's not up there. The heavenlies have come down. That's why the world and the universe and everything was turned upside down on Pentecost.
What about the scripture we I can't recall exactly. It's about bearing we bear the dying of the Lord.
No, we bear His reproach outside the camp. But we go to.
No, what about Hebrews?
Oh, God. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't experience that daily, then you won't know the resurrection, because everything in the instead of Christ is telling you to give breath to this. And if you once give the slightest breath to this, then you're not bearing in the body the dying of the Lord, and then you won't experience the resurrection of the Lord.
You lost me about halfway there.
You can't experience resurrection without experiencing the death.
Okay.
That's what that says.
Right.
And so the moment you give breath to something that's of the senses, then you have returned to the kingdom of darkness, because you can't. You try to get by that great flaming sword by bringing something of time and space into the New Jerusalem.
So this bearing the dying of the Lord in that experience, it's while it's happening, you see.
It's not an experience. It's a finished fact. And everything else that your mind says is the lie. Heaven came down to meet us. Heaven came down to greet us. The earthly Matrona came down and met the heavenly Matrona on the Feast of Pentecost. Now all is, wherever you look, is the New Jerusalem. That's all you can see if your eyes aren't holden. And all of time, remember, that's why this is so important. All of time is passing from the west gate through the temple and out the east gate into the valley of Hinnom, Gehenna. And everything that didn't originate in eternity will not stay in eternity. It goes out the dump. Now, there's nothing that's time dependent that can continue. So your renewal of your mind is to constantly see the finishness. And you can't have a need, because the Lord is your shepherd. If you have a need, it means you've been deceived. Is anybody here? What's going on, John? You look like I've been hit with a board again. Does this make any sense to you? For the listening audience, he's nodding yes. Can you see that you've made your God and the mystery too small? I've said this many, many, many times over the years, but I don't think anybody ever heard it. There's nothing else going on. The reason that all of a sudden that there's all this so-called inventions and crap going on for the last 1,000 years is because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, was shed on all flesh. And some of that is seeping through, but it doesn't mean anything. It means man's trying to manipulate again. But it's no matter what it is, I don't care if you invented an anti-gravity machine, it would be an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ. Remember where it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God? Does everybody remember that scripture? 1 Peter? Was that me? It doesn't mean you have to be holy of Arcadia. It means you can only speak that has any merit when you know you're seated on the mercy seat under the wings of the cherubim. That place, the oracle of God, is a place. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. The moment your mind or one of the voices confesses, i.e. says that there's a need or a problem or an issue, then you are confessing that he is not come in the flesh. Be ye transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You are they that have continued with him in his test. His test has nothing to do with any of this. I think I'm talking to the mirror. Something. Is there a breakthrough anywhere here? There's no reason. This is why peace and joy and this, no matter what the circumstances are, it's the only. I mean, everything else is the indicator that you don't believe Jesus is the Christ and you don't believe he has come in the flesh. You don't believe it's finished. You've got something else to do. You've been deceived. You've sold your birthright. Go to Hebrews.
Isn't his test essentially the same in us as it was when Jesus Christ?
No. He already finished that. Now the test in him, for his people, his bride, for each member of his bride, is to accept that test is finished.
So the seed in us at this juncture is the seeing or remembering or recalling.
No, it's you be transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Knowing that he finished the course, he completed the way, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and there's no possibility that you can have a need unless you've been deceived. There's no possibility that you can think something is wrong unless you've been deceived. There's no possibility that you can have a judgment against somebody unless you've been deceived. Do you understand that? So all of those things are the expression of the need to leave yourself behind again because you've resurrected yourself.
Take the stone back where you found it.
Do you understand that this mystery of God is so, it can't be localized to mean something to you. It can only mean something to him.
We don't find that out but by abandonment. I mean, it's not like we...
Well, you find that out by his rod and his staff.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to figure out why nothing works for you? Well, yet everything is working perfectly, but you always think something is wrong. It's his rod and his staff. Can you conceive of walking through a day without once thinking that anything was wrong and seeing that everything was perfect and not once seeing a need? Hebrews. I said that a long time ago.
I could conceive it, I would defile it.
That's why anything other than that is, you know, you've been deceived.
Hebrews 10?
Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. And then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish or fulfill the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sin and iniquity will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. When the veil was rent, it made every other form of religion just a mental exercise. I was going to say something else, but I didn't. It's done. It's perfect. It's finished. You have no need. And every time you think you do, you have been deceived. Every time you want something to change, you've been deceived. Because the perfection is all around us. It's only everything, and everything is perfect if we only had eyes to see it. Go to Colossians 1. I'll prove it some way here.
Right on the
left. General Electric Power Company. Chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath already translated us or transfigured us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Is there anything he left out there? But except for that thing I didn't like, except for that illusion of a need that I have this morning, except that illusion of I need something to change, that he didn't do. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, the wicked works of your mind, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. That's either true or it isn't. If it isn't true, you might as well forget it. And it's time to quit believing that there's time left. There's no wiggle room here. There's no I won't say that. That would have been a cheap shot. Anybody have any response? Now, believe me, if you say amen to what I just said, and I ever hear you complain or murmur again, I'm going to shoot you. Can anybody say amen?
Fire away. I'm ready to be shot.
No, it's just your mind that's fooling you around. And you're trying to figure it out by your mind. It's just crazy. You're putting yourself above the mystery. I know what I'll do. I'll study real hard, then I'll understand. No, you don't. That'll mean you'll stay in the kingdom of darkness. You study to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, not to learn anything. where it says study. To show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing is a sacrificial knife. It's to cut you up. Not so you can get puffed up and think you know something. You can't tell anybody about this until you live in it. Somebody must have a response. You see how... The universe, not just the world, the universe, all of creation was fundamentally changed on those 2 days. And the intervening from Passover to Pentecost. And everything was turned upside down. Heaven came down to earth. And all he's waiting for is for his people to sit down and be at peace and see it's finished. All those years that I've said it's finished, it's perfect, this is maybe, hopefully, a little better explanation of what that means. I hope you understand. Any expansions on the tale, Mr. Rutledge or Mr. Rosanna?
It's just what you always talk about.
I know. But it still left wiggle room before. Yeah, the illusion of wiggle worm. Gary, you look troubled. Can you see that this is the finished good news? Total? If you've come to the end of yourself? Can you accept that as a possibility?
Yeah.
Okay. Take a big guy.